Hi, welcome to My Epic Defending Childhood. This week we are doing an old classic, sort of, kind of. When I was a kid, we watched a lot of Nickelodeon shows, and, you know, well, let's put it this way. You realize that you were wrong a lot. You know, I have a daughter now, and we flip through the channels, and every so often you look at Nickelodeon and you think, wow, what did I, is this, was it this bad when I was a kid? It's funny because while all that was a big thing, and then of course you have Good Burger, which was what we're doing. We watched Good Burger. But, you know, Kenan and Kel, which was the spinoff, Kenan Thompson is quite funny. And even in bad movies, he seems to be a light. Kel Mitchell, on the other hand, well, I think Lorne Michaels made the right choice because, I mean, I've seen him in Mystery Men. Although now he seems to be doing a lot more producing in kids television, so good for him. I mean, he found his voice, but it definitely wasn't here. It's just so funny to watch all that and think, oh yeah, no, I get it. SNL is just for old people. And now you watch it and you're just like, oh no. Oh no. But we'll get to that soon enough. First of all, I want to welcome our newest producer. Editatrix, our editor, Erin Greer. She's going to take over the editing duties for the time being. And this is the first one she edited. So if you have any gripes, you know, tell me first to soften the blow, but it sounds good to me. Second, join the Facebook group. Please follow us on Facebook because it allows us to interact with you the most. So look up Myopia Defend Your Childhood on Facebook and it should be there. But, you know, review us on iTunes, share us with your friends. It's awesome and we're growing exponentially. So please let us know. And stay tuned, I guess, for the Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell vehicle. Good Burger. Thanks.
Hey, Alfalfa, would you please take my order?
Ooh, sorry. No can do. I'm the drive-thru guy. You need the counter guy.
Hey, where's Ed?
Ed! Ah!
Morning, girls! Sorry!
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
Woo! Oh, man! No!
You have messed up my afro.
Why?
Strawberry jacuzzi!
Just give me a good check.
Really?
Ed!
Mondo Burger is going to be the biggest burger chain on this planet. You guys are grass.
Dick, you need a Tic Tac.
Ed, run!
Get him! This is what I call fast food!
Hey, come back here! You're messing with the wrong brother now!
Your turn.
You're not like other people, are you?
Could you kindly point us in the direction of the little girl's room?
Better watch your butt, man.
Okay.
Why?
I give up. There is no way a guy can watch his own butt.
Y'all ready for this?
Can I take your order?
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast delivers the latest sci-fi news, plus movie and TV reviews with brilliant and insightful commentary. If you haven't listened to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast before, you will listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast now.
What do you think? You're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
Watto, I'm telling everyone to listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will, including you.
No, they won't. I'm a Titanian. Mind tweaks go We're gonna make all the money.
Okay, I don't have money, but please listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view.
Three. Welcome to My Average Defender Childhood. This week we watched Good Burger, the thing that cut the Pete and Pete movie from Nickelodeon's script. And that's not a joke. I looked it up. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter and the host of My Average Defender Childhood. And on panel we have...
Madison.
And...
I'm Grape Nose Boy. Bloobity, 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 bloobity.
Oh god. That was a scene that stuck.
We're already off to a good start, guys.
Outside a Blockbuster something. It wasn't video. I looked. I tried to read the sign.
Blockbuster Pavilion, I think it said.
Oh, God. This is Burbank, right? They made it up a town. It was called, like, Briarfield.
Actually, I wrote down the town they made up. It was, at the bottom of my notes, Briardale.
Yeah. Briardale. Sigh. All right. We're going to get way off track because this movie is garbage and there's a lot to say. It was probably the most disappointed I'd been in a selection other than our second episode where we did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is a tieback because he's doing a Keanu Reeves impression the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too far into this, Madison, will you give us a plot synopsis?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start off with Ed, played by Kel of the Keenan and Kel duo from Nickelodeon days. And Kel is just this super jazzed up about working at a fast food place called Good Burger. Obviously completely insane. As somebody says, he's a few tacos short of a combo plate. And
oh god, that line stuck with you.
It did. And anyway, so he's the central character. Then comes into play is Keenan's character named Dexter. Dexter just gets out of school for spring break or summer break. He's super excited. No work, no school, no nothing. He's just gonna chill out by the pool and do whatever. Back up, his mom's out of town for work, so he stole his mom's car and is driving it like an idiot all over town. Gets distracted because he's talking to his friend and then notices Ed's character rollerblading across the street, delivering a Good Burger. And Dexter swerves, gets in a car accident, hits Sinbad, who happens to be this super black power, black is beautiful, just flashy, afro, wonderful
suit
character.
Was so fly.
That car.
So fly.
That car was, it was a $22,000 car that he hit.
I'm pretty
and you
sure
know
I
what?
Spent $22,000 on my car. That's not a big deal.
This was 1997. This was a much bigger deal. And he talked about how it cost him extra because he got the chrome. And like they say, they always get you with the extras.
And the Detroit leather.
Anyway, to make the plot move forward, Dexter's character has to pay all the damages, you know, to repair Sinbad's car and his mom's car. So he says, okay, I'll get a job. So he tries out for this new burger place that just opened up across the street from Good Burger called Mondo Burger. And
which is baffling.
First off, this place looks... all I kept thinking about while watching this movie was, dude, where's my car?
Yeah.
Very much that kind of set scene. So he flunks out of Mondo University and comes over to Good Burger and is on a milkshake binge where Ed's character cuts him off because he's had too many. And then gets him a job. And they work together for a while. And eventually what happens is that Dexter realizes that Ed... bless his sweet little simple heart, has created some amazing special sauce that all I know of includes ketchup and lemon juice. I saw pickles at some point.
I was rather disturbed by the fact that a plot point in a kids' movie was about Ed's sauce.
And that was the joke, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was.
Because it gets splattered all over Keenan's face in a very bizarre film shot.
And then Carmen Electra shows up and tries to get his sauce, too.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes downhill from there, really. It starts as a train wreck, and then it turns into a fiery explosion of doom.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Yeah.
The only redeeming part of this movie, I'll say, though, is that in the very beginning of the movie, President of the United States of America's Dufresne's go with that shake. McClane.
That's who that was?
And that wins. Also, George Clinton was in the psych ward.
Yeah, probably. So was Abe Vigoda. Yes. Abe Vigoda was in this movie.
As a 77-year-old fry cook.
Who should have died years ago.
Who was able to jump out of a two-story window and land on his back and be totally fine. He just needed a hot jacuzzi.
Even though there was a line earlier about how running into somebody broke his ass.
I did like how they said ass in a Nickelodeon movie. I was really surprised.
I was.
So I just want to throw out, for those of you who aren't, say, our age or have somehow missed this movie, this is a director you will have never heard of but has made a string of crap. He made, with one exception, which is not a well-reviewed movie, but kind of a culty movie, which is Varsity Blues. He did Varsity Blues.
I love Varsity Blues.
But other than that, he did Norbit, Meet Dave, and Ready to Rumble, among others.
No, Ready to Rumble was good. I will vouch for Ready to Rumble.
Wasn't Meet Dave written by one of the people on Mystery Science Theater 3000?
It was, and it had 19%. His last movie, 1,000 Words, was that...
Oh, God, that one they didn't release for 5 years.
And got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie,
I think a suburban film did better than that.
I think
a Serbian
did.
Film.
A Serbian film did do better.
A suburban film.
Do not get those two confused. Totally different movie night.
Suburbia is a Richard Linklater movie. A Serbian film is not.
Is not. Frankly, apparently, all he did other than that is direct TV shows, including Kenan and Kel and All That.
All what?
All that.
With Laurie Beth Dimberg, who makes an appearance in this movie, which is a very, very bizarre cameo, doing a character she did.
All that, yes.
All the time. And what was that accent? It's like a Minnesota accent? Like
all of these people are trained to be Second City characters.
Yeah.
That's what they are. And so it's like a stupid Midwestern accent, not unlike... when they're doing their lady characters to get into Mondo Burger.
Oh, that water, water.
That pre-Tyler Perry character that Kenan does.
Yeah, the kind of... It's almost a Sambo character. It's so bad.
actually, I don't know. I don't know if it reminds me so much of Madea as it does... what was that one with...
Nutty Professor?
No. It's the guy from Blue Streak...
Martin Lawrence?
Martin Lawrence plays a character.
Oh, Big Mama's House.
That's what it reminded me of, was Big Mama's. Because it was just so out there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And it was a church lady. You know, like, oh, give me water, give me water. Okay, so we should talk a little bit about this. The whole idea is that it's an old kind of diner-like burger place called Good Burger, where Ed has been there forever, like Madison said. This train wreck of a movie, as she mentioned, is... Well, it's a sketch.
I'll just go ahead and say it. We've done worse on this podcast. We've done way worse.
Oh, no, we definitely have. And this is one of those where I watched it and I thought, okay, 1997, I would have been nine. Nine-year-old me would have probably really thought this was hilarious. 28-year-old me, not so much. Like, I got here tonight and I was speaking with Nick's wife and she said, so, Good Burger. And I'm like, that was a movie that I watched. That's a thing.
I totally had the soundtrack to this movie back in the day. I don't have it anymore, but I did back in the day.
That along would with be your worth. Now collection?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, that might be worth something. It's like, I discovered I still had the Goofy movie soundtrack around the corner.
The Goofy movie still holds up.
I wouldn't call it a collection. I mean, I only had, like, five, six, and seven. That's not really a collection. I didn't have those.
Three was clearly the best now.
Now one had Hanson's Mbop on it, so I think I had that one somewhere. I don't anymore, I don't think.
They have a beer called Mhop.
I know they do. I saw that. I was so happy.
Which, I don't like Hanson, but that, damn it, that's funny. Mm-hop. I like that.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, we can talk a little bit about the music in this. Kenan's I'm a Dude, She's a Dude, and We're All Dudes appears as a song like five times.
At least twice. So he sings it just like him in the shower. Then they actually play the actual like punky song of it.
With him singing.
And then they do it.
Jake playing the music.
Yeah. And then they do it again in the end credits. And I just kept thinking, this is like a legit, like, and I didn't realize Less Than Jake did the music, but it makes sense because I kept thinking, this sounds familiar. It sounds kind of punky, but they, who's singing that?
Who would do that to anyone? Also, it's, it reminds me of in South Park the movie, the only song that they had a real band do, like a rock out version, was What Would Brian Boitano Do? And it ends with, What Would Brian Boitano Do? Like, Like, that's what it is. It's like, of course Keenan is going to sing a punk version of the stupidest thing. But the thing that bothered me is, I was telling Daniel about this when he showed up. This whole thing, like, I watched the sketch on all that, and I watched mm-hmm. it on Keenan and mm-hmm. Kel, and like you said, you're talking to my wife about it. This is a movie she didn't see, but super wanted to see, right? And then, like, they do the jokes from
the show.
In the first 5 seconds, they do it 30 times. Like, he says, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger, can I take your order? And the thing that bothered me is the simple joke isn't Mondo Burger. There was a competing chain called Great Burger, and when Ed would piss them off, they'd go like, well, I'm going to go to Great Burger. He goes, can you get me a Great Burger? Like, it's such a simpler joke.
I just remember the one sketch I remember was when Melissa Joan Hart showed up, and he couldn't hear her properly, so she said something along the lines of, there's no pickles here, and Ed heard it as, you want me to tickle your rear?
Oh, God damn it.
That's just what happened. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the messenger.
I did enjoy how when Carmen Electra fell, he felt the need. First off, he's wearing his Good Burger uniform.
He always does.
He put a tie on over it.
Yes, over it, literally over it, not under the shirt collar. Over it.
He pulls out her chair, literally. Pulls it out, she falls, and he asks, oh my God, is your butt okay? Yeah, it's fine. And then he stands up and shouts out to the whole room, everybody, her butt is fine.
Let's be honest, he's not the first person to say that about Carmen Electra.
Otis was checking it out too.
Yes, he was.
Abe Vigoda is the most baffling cameo in this.
Oh, Abe Vigoda was totally tapping that, let's be honest.
Him and his giant freaking ears. When did John Candy die?
1994 or 95?
Well, because the boss screamed to me Chris Farley.
Really?
Or...
All I thought of was Horatio Sanz.
But they're all failed SNL characters. Yes.
Isn't the guy that played the boss like the creator of all that?
He may have been.
I think he was.
But I mean, again, he seems like a washed out Second City guy. Like, I know this sounds so mean, but like all of them are doing characters and they're just so over the top improv guys. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, Christ.
No, it reminds me of like this movie was just filled with Michael Scott impersonators. That's all this
Before
movie
Before Michael
was.
Scott was a thing.
No. Michael Scott at improv.
That's right.
This is that as a movie. They just extrapolated it and made it way too long.
Here's the problem. The one character that worked was Dexter. I liked Dexter. I thought that he was relatable, and I thought Keenan had great comic timing with Dexter. He was just surrounded by morons.
I mean,
He's gone on to do something with himself.
Yes,
everybody else
has. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, first of all, you're right. The guy who's the boss is the head writer on. Apparently, he owns Nickelodeon because he's written on everything from. This is from the IMDb. You know, dictionary here, but everything from iCarly down, like he's all that. The Amanda Show, he's the head writer. Keenan and Kelly's the head writer. He even wrote for the TV show version of Head of the Class. That's how old he is.
Can you imagine using "I'm the head writer of the Amanda Show" as a pickup line? That's just what
maybe with
my
Amanda
mind.
Bynes.
If only. How dare you? That means he probably did blow with Amanda Bynes.
He's
which
probably
make...
cool somewhere in some alternate universe.
Yeah.
He's just one of those people like.
He's sitting in the subway. I used to do blow with Amanda Bynes, you know? It's like, if this was 2005, that might be cool. Mm-hmm.
This is like the next season of American Horror Story of Stranger Things. Like, you just start looking in the background of 80s, like of Coke parties, and he's just there, just some fat guy looking baffled, and he's like, one day I'm going to create a kids network, kid power, and you're just like, oh God.
Can we talk about, I'm sorry, I know we're talking about the actual film itself, the movie itself, but even before the movie started, there is a very iconic beginning for the studio, Nickelodeon Studios. It's not even so much that, it was that cup. The cup with the design from the 90s, like the Dixie cup design with the purple and blue all over it. And then it had orange. I wanted it to be orange soda, but it was orange slime before they changed the slime.
Madison.
Do you like orange soda?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Why do
you like orange soda, Madison?
I do.
My life is complete now.
This is so much more fun than the movie was.
Well, the weird thing is that that's the only thing that looked period. I mean, Good Burger looks like it was designed for the American Graffiti set, and Mondo Burger just looks like some weird 80s thing. It's like everybody's wearing a tracksuit in there, and there's some red carpet opening for a fast food place. It was
if you ever wanted to show your kids the movie Clerks 2, but couldn't because
that's
it's
what
Clerks
I said.
2.
It's movies.
This is the worst version of it without it scarring your children for life.
And it came out 10 years before.
Yes, yeah. And it's perfect. I mean, even down with the guy with the spatula hitting the fly, and like, it's everything you want.
I would
without
have
a donkey
money,
show.
I would have paid money to hear Kel talking about what was the name of the gnome that lived in the woman's pants, Pussy Willow or Pussy Pants or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just.
It's why the teenager couldn't have sex in Clerks 2 because.
Oh no! It wasn't Randall. It was the kid. That was real super into Transformers.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
I mean, like that's the gag. Like this movie is when I watched like the first, even the beginning when they're just making burgers. There's like literally tomatoes appearing. Like I was like,
there's
oh my
so
god, this
many
is Clerks
condiments.
2. This is Clerks 2.
Yeah.
And I had this moment where I had a nervous breakdown because Clerks 2 was so weird and disappointing compared to the first one. And I was just like, oh.
It's funny we bring up Clerks. Because I thought that this would have worked better if it was like a kiddie Clerks. If it was about like a day in the life of Ed and Dexter. Because Dexter would have been a good straight man. Ed would have been a good Randall character.
Let's back up. That was what Keenan's role was.
Yeah.
Kel just was given a different script. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and to your point, Sinbad being a straight man was baffling. His performance was, I'm going to say restrained. It doesn't make sense. But it was actually... He was the straight man of the thing, mm-hmm. but man, was that a bizarre choice. Like, honestly. But, sorry, we're off topic. This makes no sense. There was a dance scene that was set up like Thriller in an insane asylum led by George Clinton, who traipses through the scene.
And it only has like 4 people doing the dance scene?
No, there were like 15 people.
Okay.
It was the whole room. They even got the guards in on it.
Yes.
Yeah, before Kanan headbutted the guards.
Kanan is the best actor in this movie. Yeah. Everyone else must have just, like, shown up one day.
I also really appreciate the fact that when they're breaking into Mondo Burger to show that they're using this chemical, Kel's character, Ed, is just like, what's that? He's parkouring all over the place. And Kel's character, the guy that is Kel, is a very svelte man. Whereas Keenan is not. And you just see Kel, like, climbing up the side of this building and shouts down to Keenan. He's like, all right, now you can come up here. And he's like, basically just look at him like, how the hell is my fat ass supposed to get up there? Like, I can't just, like, Spider-Man this shit? Like, what do I do?
Well, and it's a very self-aware in that way. And those, frankly, are the best moments. Because when Kel's talking, it's just sandpaper. Because the accent gets worse. It's just an impression. It's not a thing. It's just worse. And he doesn't have tones. He's just louder and flatter and louder and flatter.
He is a token black surfer guy.
He sounds like a Ninja Turtle if the Ninja Turtle had an ice pick in its skull.
But it's like the Sega Genesis version, so the audio isn't all there.
There you go.
It's done with like MIDI sound. It's like, whoa, dude.
Now, I've got to say, I'm kind of offended that you say Keenan's the best actor in this because we're forgetting about Shaq.
Shaq did a good job. He said
Shaq was amazing.
He ate the burger and said, it's good. That was probably the best acting he's ever done in his life.
He gave me the biggest laugh when Kel put those tomatoes on his burger and he just says, like, you're not like other people, are you? And it's like, that's the most factual thing that's been said throughout this movie.
It was just said. Like, the movie was just done. Oh, I love that. And that was the celebrity cameo. Mm-hmm. The only real acting weight is done by Abe Vigoda, and he's just like, I need to sit down.
Because the oxygen machine.
He really was
77
when this thing was made, wasn't he?
And it's the worst prop man stunt guy at work ever when they're jumping out of that window. Because it, like, Keenan turns into Kel's stunt double.
Now, how did Abe Vigoda end up in this movie, but people like Robert Duvall and Al Pacino avoid it?
Because some people need more money than others.
Like Al Pacino.
Look, that diabetes ain't cheap.
Oh, God. Maybe they just thought Abe Vigoda was dead, and they just like, oh, you're still alive? People aren't hiring you because they thought you died 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. This is like when Julia Louis-Dreyfus said something about her dad dying that everyone tweeted about Richard Dreyfus, and Richard Dreyfus was like, thanks, but I'm not her dad. We're different people.
Oh, man.
And it's funny, but it's not funny that there are times where we'll even just be talking and we'll say something about an actor and I'll say, that person's still alive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a natural thing to be like, I just assume since I forgot about them, they just no longer exist in my realm.
Well, it's 2016 as well. I just assume they're all gone.
Everybody's dead at this point. Yeah. I'm surprised we're alive.
I mean,
knock on wood.
Abe Vigoda is 200 years old at this point.
Yeah, right? He is.
96 or whatever.
He passed away, like, what, 16 years later?
I mean, he did. I mean, he honestly lived to be almost 100.
He did.
But regardless, this movie survived, and it's celebrating its 20th anniversary, according to Wikipedia.
Oh boy.
The only HD version exists on Netflix because it never even made it to Blu-ray.
I loved the clarity of the Mondo uniforms. Those looked great.
Which really do look like something out of Captain EO or some nightmare. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's what I kept thinking of. Okay, I just wondered why I kept thinking about Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was managed by coked out Doogie Howser, which was baffling. When Keenan is practicing, like, I guess it's his employee training to make Mondo burgers, which first of all makes no sense. We'll get to that in a second. It's an assembly line with robotic children as filmed through, I guess, Brazil, like Terry Gilliam movie.
Don't mention Brazil right now. I don't need to be reminded of a good movie.
But again, it's not even like Home Alone making references to good 40s movies. It's just like the director being like, I'm too lazy to figure this out. Let's just do a shot for shot thing. It's weird. It's very weird.
I wonder how it would be like if I synced up that song from Brazil, you know, dun 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 dun.
It would work.
If it probably would.
Yeah. Except until you get to Dexter.
Mm. Womp womp. Am I the only one who thinks Mondo burgers looked like crap?
Yeah, they were like awful. They looked like they were way too well done.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 3 inches thick.
The patties looked plastic.
They were plastic.
I know.
That's why Dog didn't eat them, which is a plot device later. Then they explode, and it's weird. The ending could not have been.
Where did they get shark poison from? And what is shark poison? Is it something you poison sharks with? Something you take from sharks? I don't understand.
I guess it's something that you poison sharks with.
Who's poisoning sharks? Who are you? I'll find you.
The Japanese.
The people from Jaws?
Please.
Bastards.
They had bigger boats.
Oh. That's like a joke from this movie, Nick. You're better than that.
I'm not. I can guarantee you I'm not better than that. So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? We should talk a little.
Well, I'm surprised by how many dirty jokes they snuck into this movie, or at least attempts at dirty jokes. We've talked about Ed's sauce, and there was this line where Ed's introducing Dexter to the crew, and they introduce the woman that does salads, and he says something along the lines of, since she's a vegetarian, that means she doesn't eat fur. And I'm like, what is that?
Nah, I don't think that was. I honestly don't think that was them trying to be dirty. I think it was just them showing how dumb he was. Because first he said she's a veterinarian.
Oh, yeah.
And she says vegetarian. He's like, yeah, that means she doesn't eat fur. Meat. I don't eat meat. Which,
is that what that was?
Yeah.
Because I was at least trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were sneaking something in.
I wouldn't even give them that.
Aww.
And Lori Beth Dimberg's accent is supposed to be funny, and it just turned out to be
I remembered that character from all that. Apparently her family doesn't believe in motor vehicles or the solar system. That was the joke.
This show existed. I remember the prequel to it. What was it? Roundhouse? Remember Roundhouse? It came out before all that. And there was a guy with a chair that had everything. Yeah, no, it was their sketch comedy show before all that.
A chair that had everything? You mean Baggins, Sag, and Barry, the guy whose hands held everything?
That was one of my favorite skits. With Keenan.
With Keenan.
Baggins, Sag, and Barry, and Pierre Escargot.
Pierre Escargot.
He was always in the bathtub with the glasses and the rain hat.
Why are we laughing?
My
dad was a big fan of Ask Ashley.
I always pull up when I'm talking about the 90s and I'm lecturing on history, that picture of, I think it's Amanda Bynes being Ross Perot as well.
That wasn't Amanda Bynes, but I remember the Ross Perot impersonation.
And I got $4 billion, just like whatever it was.
Would you rather have a fish tank full of fish or a fish tank full of cash?
All that, man. See, that's a show like Garfield and Friends that should not appear on like Netflix, because I'll watch it and be very sad. I imagine it's just going to be garbage. You know, because I watched Garfield and Friends when it came back out, and I was just like, oh, this is awful.
All that was kind of, well, it was a kiddie SNL, but there were times it kind of pushed the envelope. Puff Daddy was a musical guest on all
that. He was. And didn't he play Come With Me?
They censored him.
They did, very heavily. But he played Come With Me. It was the year that Godzilla came out, 97.
Was it?
I thought it was.
I don't remember what song he played, but I remember them bleeping him.
Significantly. George Clinton shows up, and they do a dance scene. I don't know. I kind of wish that...
I'm still really upset about this scene in the psych ward, because this isn't what psych wards are like. They don't just, like, have everyone congregate in one main room.
Well,
and then
they were trying
to do one floor over the cuckoo's nest,
but they weren't smart enough.
But yeah, it just reminded me of, like, a really sad attempt at, like, 12 Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta be honest, this is just... It's a poor representation of what psych wards are
and
like.
And Linda Cardellini was in that scene for some reason, which was very sad because it's like, you're actually a good actress.
She let all of the kangaroos go.
Yes, she did.
But more importantly, why the hell does that happen? It makes no sense. Why does a burger chain have connections to everyone?
Why can't they just leave? I mean, the only way you can get committed to a psych ward is through a court order. They could just have gone up and said, I'm going,
no,
bye.
It's either you bring yourself in or you're 1013, and that's at least in Georgia, and you're court ordered to be there for at least 72 hours. Like, you can't just, like, a fast food employee can't just drop off another fast food employee and be like, they're bonkers.
Yeah.
Lock them up in a padded room.
And then they
three of them together.
Then they escape in an ice cream truck, which they steal after jumping through a window because I guess the chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest throws one of them through the window.
I think it was Abe Vigoda, wasn't it?
No, it was the big scary guy.
It's the big scary guy who doesn't speak.
That's right.
Who then, in a scene very similar...
isn't a Native American, by the way.
Who then, in a scene where he essentially picks up the water fountain, throws Keenan through the window. And he goes, oh, why? Which is another phrase he had. Why?
Keenan and Kel.
Because this was...
He did the same thing when he looked at Sinbad after he hit his car.
Oh!
All he hears him is Sinbad saying, my afro, my afro. Oh, why?
Well, there was a whole bit with his mailboxes.
Two times!
His huge fro and his giant, like, collar.
Does car insurance not exist in the universe of this movie?
Well, at first it's because Keenan doesn't have it, because
he's not a licensed driver. But, like, at the end where that giant burger... Here's how it ends, by the way. Mondo Burger gets destroyed.
Spoilers.
Yeah, like you care.
Spoilers.
Mondo Burger gets destroyed because Ed overdoses the meat patties on Triamphethol. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, so he's destroying it, and the giant burger that's on top of the restaurant falls down in a way that makes no sense according to the laws of physics and crushes Sinbad's car.
And the end literally looks like the finale of something like Family Double Dare. There's just exploding meat for no reason. There's Gak squirting around.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, man. And
that's
again,
this movie. Tagline, it's weird, man.
Yeah. And then, frankly, there are some very Nickelodeon scenes. Like in one of the opening montage bits, we get Kel swimming in the milkshake
to fix it. Yeah. And he calls it a strawberry jacuzzi.
Oh.
But again, like, that's a scene out of Double Dare, right?
You know,
like,
I was just watching that and going, that's not hygienic.
No,
yeah, I was really disgusted. And then, and unfortunately, the manager was kind of okay with it. He's like, oh, Kel. And he's just like, God damn it. Burn the thing down. No, it should be closed. How dare you? It should be closed.
Now, watching this movie, I was reminded of something from my youth, which was a sequel that somebody wrote that was published in novel form called Good Burger 2 Go. Except 2 was the number two, because apparently that was comedy. And that was, I don't know how to describe it. I remember something about the plot, but that was just a mess.
You read that. You spent at least an hour of your life reading that.
If I recall correctly, I was reading it on a plane.
Now, was it a coloring book or a choose your own adventure novel?
No, it was a pop-up book. It was an actual 150-page book.
That's not a book. It's a novella.
Yeah.
That's how long. I was like 8 or 9 at the time.
I'm still disappointed in you for reading that.
Probably as well you should be. I remember it involved a mime. A mime was a major plot point in that book, which is just what this movie was going for, because apparently mime and dumb puns equals comedy.
This was a single. He was on... I'm sorry, I'm looking at Kel's website now. He has a single from All That called Watch Me Do My Thang, starring Immature, Smooth, and Kel Mitchell.
Who was his friend in the who's Keenan's friend in the high school scene that rode in the car with him? Because that was some big rapper in the 90s. Was it Master P?
That was not Master P.
That was not Master P? Who was that?
I don't know. I will look. But
I remember my babysitter pointing that out to me.
Your babysitter? Why you watch this one? Poor person.
Yes. I'm sorry, Eleanor.
Yeah, you guys can fill. I can look for a second.
Hopefully
can...
she was baked out of her mind, so at least this was somewhat hilarious.
Kurt Boswell.
The whole time I watched this, I just kept thinking, I feel like the only way they could have gotten... So the only reason why...
I'm going to pause it.
So, no idea who the friend is that ditches him in the car. I can say without a doubt it was not Master P, though.
Okay. I just remember Coolio doing the theme to Keenan and Gil, so they obviously had connections.
Because Coolio has connections.
Well, 97 he probably did.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know when, like, Gangster's Paradise and stuff came out, but...
Yeah, I guess about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
when did Weird Al?
Yeah, I was going to say, when did Weird Al make the parody? That's how I know of most popular songs.
That's so funny.
There's so many aspects of this movie that we could talk about, but I really don't
want to.
I don't think anybody would care at in the least bit.
Well, it just goes to show that humor for kids is weird. Fine, whatever, but. It just doesn't line up. This one was one of the roughest ones to rewatch, I think.
I disagree. I thought I had very low expectations for this. And it's not good, but there were parts that I was actually surprised by that held together pretty well. I liked Dexter. I thought that he had a good arc, and I thought that his problems were relatable as a character. And the second act was fine.
I mean, he is by far the best actor in this. I mean, that even includes the cameos. Right, mm-hmm. Like, because Abe Bogota doesn't, like, he doesn't mails, act. He ships this in from as far away as possible.
I don't know, I think the dog did a really good job.
I thought the clowns did a really good job.
I will never say that, because clowns are awful.
Mm.
Yeah, that clown horror thing going on right now is weird.
That,
So that wasn't a viral campaign for Rob Zombie's movie?
No.
No?
Oh no! 2016 claimed Spatch!
What?
What?
The actor Ron Lester who played Spatchdyke this year.
Aww.
Oh my god.
Damn it, 2016.
Oh, that's so funny and terrible at the same time.
Literally the only good thing that's come out of this year is your child.
Thank you.
That's the only good thing that's happened in 2016. Oh, sorry. Two of our friends got married.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. sure did.
We'll give them that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And the rest of it, like, are sketches. Like, that's the other thing. Like, the plot to this is very bizarre, but it's filmed like a bunch of shorts, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's, like, four or five scenes that are literally just all that sketches. And then there's all that sketches from Mondo Burger's perspective. Like, yeah. That opening scene where, like, they have a grand opening with a band playing.
Yeah, playing Celebrate by Kool and the Gang.
With a jazz quartet or quintet.
And women were there in cocktail dresses. Like full-length, ball gowns and stuff.
That was so weird.
Eating disgusting burgers.
It's a fast food place, people.
I mean, and it's not even like... See, and I was making fun of this to my wife because when, Shake Shack opened in Buckhead?
Mm-hmm.
It was... There was a line, but there weren't people in dresses. It was just a bunch of hipsters who thought it was fun to go to a shake place. This is weird. This is disturbing. It's a movie town.
I'd put on a cocktail dress to go to a Zaxby's, I'm just saying.
I'm sure you would.
There's one that just opened up around the corner, too.
Madison, can we talk after this? I think I need to borrow something.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, at this point, we've talked about a very weird movie. And don't worry, I'm going to put the Kel version of I'm a Dude at the end of this point.
Jesus.
Yeah, so you can enjoy that. I think at the top I should almost put the All That theme.
I before we close, I do have one other memory to talk about. Does anybody remember when Keenan and Kel reunited on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon to do a Good Burger sketch?
I do, in fact. That might be a good thing at the end, actually.
I don't, and I'm glad.
Yeah, that was... Jimmy Fallon was a coworker at Good Burger and acted just like Ed. It was kind of disastrous.
Oh, so Jimmy Fallon was Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
And, oh, okay, great. Did he break character, at least? Because that's the only way I know it's really him.
If he giggles for no reason.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just so unfunny that he managed to keep character, which would...
He kept character, if I recall correctly, but once again, Keenan came on and kind of saved it as a construction worker that he played on All That.
Jesus. Jimmy Fallon is fine as Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon should never do sketches, ever.
Jimmy Fallon is not...
How long was he on Saturday Night Live for? I remember.
Too long.
But I don't think he did... Well, he did some sketches.
Yeah.
He did much more as the... As a head writer after Tina Fey left, and then he was the...
Jared's Room was a good sketch.
Jared's Room was a fine sketch. I'll give you Jared's Room. However, let's
give final judgments. Madison, you first.
Yeah, sure. So I remembered watching this as a child. Let me back up. I recognize the fact that I had seen this at some point. I did not remember a single thing about it, so I had no idea what I was going into. I didn't even read, like, the hilarious synopsis that Netflix puts for every movie, where it's like, Ghostbusters, a team of people fight against slime. Maybe there's a dog thing? Ah! Like, there are always these nonsensical bullshit things. I didn't even read that, because I wanted to go into it totally blind. And halfway through, I wanted to take a nap. I did not, because I wanted to make sure I could record, but I would not watch this ever again, and I wouldn't advise anybody to watch it ever either.
Thank you. Daniel?
As somebody whose third parent was Nickelodeon, Channel 16 on cable, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I had very low expectations rewatching this, because I remember watching this as a kid. I had the soundtrack, and I read the damn sequel novel that came out to this that involved a mime. I don't know. The second act is fine when it's just Dexter going through Good Burger. If this had been like a Kitty Clark's, it would have been great. But by the third act, it's a disaster. And they depended far too much on puns and lame kitty humor, even though I guess at the beginning they were trying to be somewhat daring, but that fell apart very quickly. I don't know. We've done worse on this podcast. We've done a lot worse. Spawn. But I can't recommend it, in all honesty. It surprised me by being a lot better than I thought it'd be, but it's still not good.
I'd watch Cliffhanger again instead of this.
I would too, but that has nothing to do with it.
I think our loyal listeners know how much I hate Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Ferngully was worse. I'm just going to throw that out there.
False.
I don't think Ferngully was false. I like that one better. This was the one that disappointed me the most by far. I've rewatched Ferngully since. I will not rewatch this again.
I will say, this was shameful. I was very upset by watching this. I don't even know where to start. Nickelodeon was channel 27 at my cable station.
32 in Hawaii.
There we go. We have so much in common. I remember all of that. I mean, frankly...
Okay, so what this made me think of is immediately... When I was a kid, I would get the SNL Greatest Hits... Where there's, like, no explanation. They just cut from sketch to sketch by the Eagle. I almost wish it was more like that. It was just, like, a greatest hits of the Good Burger sketches. Because trying to tie together with a plot made no sense. Right? Like, the Mondo Burger stuff is completely forgettable. And they had a better proxy on the show itself. On the show proper. So why do this? It's baffling. And I just... I don't know. I would forget it. This is, I think, the worst movie we've done. Honestly. There's some other really bad ones. But, like... A lot of the bad ones that we even think of, like even Spawn, has a plot. This has nothing. This is just them traipsing through it, and all of a sudden they have to wrap up the movie so there's an explosion. Like, this is the worst thing we've done. Anyway, we are out of time. So tune in next week and every future week as we put another piece of your past on trial.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast and at Dude Letter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. She's a dude,